Hello, it's Brody. I love bringing mummification to you each week, and if you'd like to support me to keep doing that, you can make a once-off donation through the Acast supporter feature. There's no regular subscription, and your donation will help pay our music license, buy audio gear, and put fuel in my car so I can keep interviewing the amazing women who share their stories with us. There's a link in the show description and episode show notes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Mummification. I'm your host, Brody Matner. This podcast is a space for women and parents to talk about how they're feeling. And sometimes they feel like swearing. So this episode may not be suitable for young ears.
I can't believe it's 4:15 in the morning and you're up doing this. And yes, it's 10:15 a.m. I'm alive. I've had breakfast. I've started my work day. I feel good.
It's perfect. I've had a snack and I have my tea.
Well, I'm so thankful you got up so early.
Hayley Benjamin is a facilitator and matrescence coach based in Vancouver. She is mum to Theo, 2.5, who I just met. And I think you're phenomenal for helping so many new mums when you're right in the thick of it with a toddler yourself. You're amazing.
That's so sweet of you. I suppose it also gives me a sense of empathy for what other mothers are experiencing because I'm going through it too.
Yes. I'll start with the first question. I ask everyone the same first question. If you were stuck on a desert island and you could take one meal, one drink, and one personal item, what would they be?
One meal. Peanut butter toast. Is that a meal?
Definitely.
Peanut butter toast and banana. That's a meal. All things peanut butter. One drink, water.
Yes.
Always my favorite. It's the only thing virtually that I drink other than coffee. And one person?
One personal item.
One personal item. My laptop. In the hopes that it could, in the hopes I could communicate with others and FaceTime. And yes. Is there Wi-Fi? That's really the question.
Yes, island Wi-Fi. Now, I'd love to hear your personal story and how life led you to what you do now, because you started deep in corporate land.
I started in the corporate world about now 15 years ago, and my career started and continued for close to 14 years in leadership development and personal development. And that meant leading workshops and trainings for new people coming into companies, for managers who are being promoted to the next level, people taking on different roles. And I was also a coach in the corporate world for similar situations and for people leading large teams, divisions, departments. And a big part of my work, I mean, put it this way, there are mothers that work in the corporate world. There are, we know, working mothers. And so I developed this affinity and this passion for moms in the workplace, because when I was leading programs and I was coaching women who were also mothers, I started to hear themes and I started to be part of conversations. And there was a disconnect. What people were talking to me intimately in our coaching sessions about was not what was being talked about in the wider world around motherhood. And so I found myself very curious. And it took me, you know, it took me a few years to really pinpoint that I had this passion for mothers. And it was now about 7 years ago that I realized it, that I loved working with mothers. And at the time I was working at the head office of Lululemon here in Vancouver. And I started to be able to coach mothers more specifically as part of the coaching program at Lululemon. So my history, my career has been vast. I've worked in mining. I've worked in a top tier law firm in Australia. I worked at Lululemon, and coming home, I worked in a consulting firm. And it ultimately led me to go off on my own once I became a mother. So I've been a mom now for, my son is 2.5 years old. I've been a mom for a few years now, and it led me to see that there's an opportunity to support mothers through the transitions, just as I've done in the corporate world, supporting through the transitions into new roles, into promotions, into new businesses. I've transferred those skills into motherhood.
And can you please sum up matrescence? Because whenever anyone asks me, I say, it's like adolescence, but for mummies, it's a completely transformative process. But I thought it would be really nice to hear your description.
Yeah, my description is derived from Dr. Aurélie Athon, and so I credit her entirely with how I describe it, which it's the profound transformation, physical, emotional, social, economic, and existential, that a mother experiences as she transitions into motherhood and also through motherhood.
Yes, because it...
So it's both. It's not just the beginning of motherhood. That's something that I always like to clarify. It's not just the early days of motherhood. It's the continual transformation and evolution and identity shift that is ongoing throughout your journey of motherhood, which is arguably forevermore.
Yes. Well, let's discuss motherhood as personal development. Mm. Because when you put it to me like that in our emails, I'd never even remotely looked at it like personal development. And I think I've thought about that more since having my girls and since doing the podcast. But it had never been put to me as succinctly as that. So I'd really love you to elaborate on motherhood as personal development.
Mm-hmm. I think my corporate career being in personal development and leadership development, and socially we have an obsession with personal development. Do we not go to the section in your bookstore, or go to podcast, the self-help section, self-development, personal development section? And motherhood, in terms of it being a role transition, as it would be described in psychology, motherhood and taking on a new role as part of your identity offers this arena, this new sort of, well, it's a whole new universe really for you to explore and to use as a mirror to reflect back on yourself in terms of how you are learning and how you are growing. And within motherhood, there are micro moments in your day that can offer so many insights and lessons about who I am, about how I'm growing. And then we can look at different phases and seasons and stages that we're going through and the grander lessons that we're learning in that time. So I am interested, in the same way that socially we value leadership development or professional development and people invest in that and that's a thing in the world, what about motherhood as development and seeing motherhood as personal development or motherhood development? It is worthy of exploration. It is a major role, a significant role that people take on in their lives, and it is worthy of exploration and mining for insights and learning and growth.
And you touched then on culture. I think I read it was either on your Instagram or your website that the cultural assumptions of motherhood really impact personal experience. Mm. How would you talk about that? Would you talk about the cultural assumptions of motherhood in terms of societal expectations?
Mm-hmm. I would. I would say that part of what became clear to me in terms of when I became a mother is that we have our own unique experiences of motherhood, and we are mothering on our own with our children in our homes and in our communities, but we are part of a wider system of motherhood. And my study with Dr. Sophie Brock, who's Australian, she's a sociologist in motherhood studies, really widened the lens for me to understand just how much influence the social factors, the social messages, the wider social and cultural systems have on our individual experience of mothering. So I often say when we enter into the role of mother, we are entering into a social role. We are entering into a role that has rules, that has expectations, that has unconscious rules and expectations, if I will. And people have different perceptions of what it means to be a mother. And so it's a role that's both individual, but it's also social. We see it in the media. We see it in the movies. We see it on Netflix. We see it in TV shows, our children's books, our children's songs. There is a lot to unpack socially, narratives and norms around what it means to be a mom.
And that can have a really negative impact, I think, on moms.
Very, very much so. I think it's really the root of a lot of guilt that mothers feel and a lot of the shame and disconnection that mothers feel because they feel a failure to be able to live up to some of these norms and these narratives that have been created around what it means to be a mom.
I'd also like to talk about boundaries. How can we
I'm smiling because it's such a big one.
It's really so relevant
and it's such a big one.
How can we recognize within ourselves when we need to set boundaries?
Great question. Off the top of my head, the first things that come to mind are, like, what's flashing in my mind is overwhelm. Like, when you feel yourself in that place of overwhelm, and that will feel different for everyone in terms of how they recognize that in their body, in their mind. But when people step, or they're on the edge or on the brink of overwhelm, that's one way to realize that a boundary is needed. Guilt might be another one as well. When we sense guilt, when we sense that we are feeling shame, or that we feel like we're not doing enough. Ultimately, it's like when we get that sense that we're stressed, we're overwhelmed, we're feeling guilty about something, those are the engine light. Those are the times for us to look at, okay, like, this car is due for a service. And if you're like me, you normally historically have let your car run on the engine light for a long time until it's like really in need of a service. And so I really have, for myself and also with the moms that I work with, really encourage them to look at those emotions, those feelings of, like, when you feel like it's all too much, or you're taking on too much, or you can't do it all. That's a time to pause, to look at the engine light, and to ask yourself, okay, what's going on here? Pause. What am I feeling? What do I need? And the pause is really important, because in motherhood, there is no inbuilt time to pause. Motherhood is relentless. And I mean that in the neutral sense of the word. Motherhood and mothering carries on day and night.
Yes.
Our children are not like, Mom, it's time to take a break and to pause. How are you doing? And so it becomes up to us to put in that time. And these are micro moments. This can be 1 minute in your day when you pause and you stop and you ask yourself, how am I doing? What do I need? And in that, you might sense the overwhelm, the stress, or the guilt that you're feeling. And that can be an indication that a boundary is needed.
And from there, how do we set them?
Great question in terms of how to...
Well, I suppose it's quite an individual question. So maybe I'll rephrase it with, how would you set a boundary?
I think of a boundary as a request for something that you need. And drawing on someone whose work in boundaries, who I really respect, Nedra Tawab, her work, she has said two things that really stuck with me. Or one main thing, let me say. She said, other people don't need to agree with your boundaries in order to respect them.
I like that a lot.
And that has really stayed with me. So a boundary is a request for something that you need. And ultimately, it doesn't matter if the other person agrees with it. If it's coming from a kind and clear place, you've checked in with yourself, and it's something that you need in order to maintain your own well-being, then that's how you set a boundary. You make a request, you tell someone what you need, and they don't need to agree with it. It's not up for debate.
Yes.
And that's a big thing that I share with mothers, because there's a lot of conversation. There can be a lot of pushback around boundaries, that, like, well, why do you need that? Or, I don't think you need that. Or family dynamics might believe that you should be doing things a certain way, but you have a right to set boundaries for your own physical and mental and emotional well-being.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And then I think what can be, what I've found tricky with boundaries is that once you recognise what you need, sometimes they can feel quite big in terms of rewiring how you're conditioned to do something. And so for me, I've found that I might set a boundary, but then I need to keep checking in and keep resetting for myself as much as the people around me, which I think sometimes saying it out loud, it might feel like it's hard work, but I think it's hard work that's important.
Mm-hmm. It is hard work, and it can be difficult. It takes effort, it takes energy, and it's so worthwhile because the long-term impact is so worthwhile. It might, in the short term feel difficult or hard, but the long-term payoff is entirely worthwhile. And you also just had me thinking about boundaries. I as you asked that question, I thought about boundaries that we set with other people, but boundaries also apply to ourselves. There are boundaries that I have been setting for myself this year, i.e. social media boundaries that I need to set with myself, or boundaries around what I will or won't do around the home, boundaries around prioritizing my own rest, going to bed early. And yes, I definitely need to continue checking in over and over again. Am I respecting the boundary that I set, whether it's with myself or someone else? Is it still relevant, that boundary? Does it need to be shifted or changed? And how's it going? Is a really worthwhile check-in. How is that boundary going?
Well, because motherhood's a moving beast, right? Like it changes for us as it changes for our kids, or as our kids change. That's a really good point that you need to keep checking in, and they might change and a boundary might not be relevant anymore, or you might not need it. Again, setting boundaries for yourself can be hard because guilt can come into it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And mother guilt seems to be a very mother-specific, well, obviously it's a mother-specific term, but you don't hear people talking about dad guilt.
Mm, no. It is. It's an interesting exploration around why mom guilt and how it became this way, and that it is part of our social vocabulary, right? Mom guilt is a thing. It's almost as if mom guilt has become synonymous with becoming a mother.
Yes.
That when you become a mother, naturally you will feel guilty. That is a narrative that exists, that motherhood, inherently you will feel guilty.
And if you're not feeling guilty, then maybe you're not doing it right.
Yes. You could ask that question, right? Someone could ask that question. And so it's almost like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like if you feel guilty, then you're doing it quote unquote right. And if you don't feel guilty, you're not doing it right. Like, are you doing it right? Like, you never feel, there's no answer to it, right? Mm. In terms of guilt. But it's about, again, I really welcome curiosity around emotions. And I think that's where my own life and my own practice and my own work has really been shaped by practices of self-compassion.
Yes.
Because instead of being rigid when I feel guilt, or being like, I don't want to feel guilt, or trying to push it away, again, I think of the engine light analogy. That's one that really comes to my mind often, of when I'm feeling guilty, how can I explore what's going on? What's really happening here? Why do I feel guilt? Am I living my values right now? What's being put into question? And how can I have that conversation lovingly with myself in order to see what's really going on here?
I think part of that is blocking out external noise, or trying to as well. And again, you did a post on Instagram I don't know when it was because I went a long way back on your Instagram. Yeah. But you said if you're having a hard time, or, you know, perhaps your toddler or baby is having a hard time, you can take that minute to stop and check in with yourself and close your eyes and ask yourself those questions, and so that you're not reacting from a kind of knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's important in terms of you.
Mm.
You know, you can stop and, you know, why am I feeling guilty? It's not because I actually feel guilty. It's because 5,000 posts on Instagram have told me that I should feel guilty about this.
Yes.
Or the way my parents parented me tells me I should feel guilty about this.
Yes.
And those are hard things to work through. But I really like your analogy of it's not an analogy, your advice of taking a second, and then it doesn't have to be this big, you know, big things feel overwhelming for me as a mum. You know, if someone said to me, sit down and meditate for 10 minutes a day,
yes,
even though that's small, I would go, oh, no, it's too,
yes,
much. But taking a second or a minute is much more doable.
Yes, I think that we individually can put up a lot of barriers to these types of practices of self-reflection, like, oh, if I can't sit down and journal for 30 minutes, then I'm not going to do it at all. Or if I can't sit and meditate for 10 minutes, then I'm not going to do it at all. And in motherhood, it's clear that we don't have the time necessarily to be doing those things, depending on the phase of motherhood that you're in. In particular, new motherhood is very demanding. Motherhood overall is very demanding, no matter what stage you're at. And yes, we could talk about how we can clear the space to do that, but my point is that it doesn't have to be some big elaborate pause. In fact, the beautiful, like, small moments throughout our day that can become practices to reflect or to pause, to check in, they can be there. It can be the moment you're waiting in your car when you're doing school drop off or pickup. Right? It can be when you're brushing your teeth or when you're making your coffee in the morning. It can be, I know for me, in having a young son, it's when I put him down for a nap. It's that minute when I'm holding him in my arms and I put him down for a nap and I check in with myself too. So there are different moments that I always encourage mothers to look for in their day that they can build in a habit around checking in with themselves, and then it becomes part of their routine rather than also, I must sit for 30 minutes and meditate. And that's coming from me. I am also a yoga and meditation teacher.
Yes.
and I value a 20-minute meditation practice. But let me tell you, through becoming a mother, I am not sitting every day meditating for 20 minutes. It doesn't look like that right now in my life for me. And there's a lot of compassion too, that it doesn't have to look like that right now for me, that there's a welcoming of what it is now.
The right now was really key in what you just said, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I came mm-hmm. to that realization after I'd had Marley, our first baby. She's nearly four now, and it took me quite a long time, but I went, oh, there will be a time for me to do XYZ later,
mm-hmm.
but that time isn't now, and that's okay. I've had, at that stage, 37 years of doing XYZ whenever I wanted, and now I need to just park that for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard. It can be hard to get to that place, to really accept right now.
Yes.
Because we have a few decades of how it's been before children come into our life, and there are deeply ingrained ways of being. And what I find is a lot of mothers, myself included, compare themselves back to how life used to be pre-motherhood. And so they think, gosh, I used to be able to exercise, you know, however XYZ each week. I used to be able to sit and meditate every day. Like, why can't I do that now? And there's a beating up of themselves, because they're comparing back to a paradigm that is no longer so. And so when we can shift, like, what is right now? Like, if we look and take stock of, like, how is my life right now? What is my actual capacity right now? How much energy do I actually have? How much time do I have? When we can really look at that honestly and candidly, then we can find the moments to plug in different practices into our day.
And did you do a lot of your kind of motherhood studies. I know you've done Sophie Brock's course. And did you do those things after you had had your baby or before?
I did. I did them after I had my son. So I did Sophie Brock's certification in last year, 2021. And then I'm also, I work one-on-one with Dr. Aurelie Athan, who's a researcher and psychologist and specializes in matrescence. And that has been since becoming a mom. So I had my son and there was this voice inside that said I wanted to work with mothers and devote myself to mothers wholeheartedly and step away from the work that I had been doing in the corporate world, which I loved. And I think from the outside in as well, I had a dream job to many people in terms of what I was doing, leading retreats and workshops and working for Lululemon and traveling the world. And a pandemic also hit while I had my child and I was on a parental leave. So that life changed and that work life changed. But I followed that instinct inside to support mothers, and being a coach and a facilitator already, and that being my skill set, I knew that I could design workshops and courses and offerings for mothers because I have those skills already. But going through the work with Sophie Brock and working with Dr. Aurelie Athan, at the same time, there's always this, like, two tracks running in parallel. There's the work that I do with them and how it supports mothers who I work with, but then I'm also unpacking who I am as a mother at the same time.
Yes, I was just about to ask of you.
So it's cyclical, like it's both. They will always run in parallel. From the time I found out I was pregnant, I have been experiencing motherhood on the one hand, and I have also been observing and witnessing what it means to be a mother socially and watching that play out. So I will always be in both realms, and they feed each other in beautiful ways as well.
And what services or programs do you offer now as part of your business?
Yeah, I offer two main things. I offer group programs, and for the time being, they've been virtual. And within that, there's two group programs. One is for mothers who are 0 to 12 months postpartum. It's called my early postpartum program. And the other one is for moms who are 1 year plus postpartum. And they are both 6-week programs, group coaching programs, where you go through in a small group together. And it's one part education. So on topics, on concepts around motherhood, around who you are as a mother and what's shifting for you in your personal development in this phase of your life. And then it's one part community and support and conversation, being with other mothers who want to unpack this as well. And then one part inquiry and coaching through me, growing your own self-awareness. And so those are my two group programs. And then I also work with mothers one-on-one in a coaching capacity, so supporting moms. That ranges. I work with moms who are moms-to-be, who are on the path to having a child, who are pregnant or adopting or fostering. I work with mothers in new motherhood all the way through to, I've had coaching clients who are becoming empty nesters. So the whole spectrum, I would say, in terms of what is shifting for you, but at the heart of it is who you are as a human, as a mother. That is my work. I am not a coach who supports you in your parenting on how to be a better parent. I'll give some tangible examples, sleep or how to give food or what to do with picky eaters. Like, I'm not in the parenting realm. I'm in the self-development evolution realm of supporting mothers on this shift and the changes that they go through as a mom.
Are there things that come up I assume there are similar things that come up often for a lot of women. What would you say are some of the most common things that come up in your coaching?
Number one is guilt. That would be a big topic that comes up with virtually every single client in every program that I've been on. Alongside that, balancing paid work and motherhood, if there are mothers who are in paid employment and also in motherhood. So the balance, the juggle of it all, if you will, if we think of how people talk about it, working motherhood. Similar other themes would be feeling alone or isolation and disconnection. Feeling that I can't tell you how many times I've heard know, what's wrong with me? Or is it just me that, or why am I the only one who feels this way? And yet so many people feel the same way. We just don't know it. Comparison is a big topic that surfaces, of comparison and feeling less than or not good enough. I could keep going, but those are probably the biggest ones that surface the most. That was a lot in that.
There is a lot in that. And it's so hard, isn't it? Because often when I'm chatting to people before they come on, you know, we're talking about what we'll talk about, and the mums that I interview about their personal stories, often they'll say, it sounds like I'm being really negative, but and I think, well, you're not. We're just having an actual conversation about that it's hard. And that doesn't mean that there's not all of the joy and that you don't love your children and you don't love being a mum. It's separate to that. It's also difficult to juggle, like you said.
Yes. And I mean, what I come back to, you just, you know, my ears perked up when you said, but, right? The hard stuff, but it doesn't mean. And something that I often offer mothers is it's an and. And when we can see that, like when we can open up the conversation to say, it's all of these challenges, it's all of this, you know, we can feel very, like unsettled, uncomfortable, that we're in the thick of it. It's the challenge, it's the heavy, the negative emotions, if you will, if we want to call them that. And at the same time, it can also be the incredible love and joy you didn't know you could feel, the presence, the delight, the energy that comes out of you from you don't know where. Like it's both. And so often I think one of the narratives that exists is that it's one or the other. So if you are experiencing all of the negative, let's call it, if you are complaining, if you are feeling like this is hard, then you must not be enjoying it.
Yes.
It's as if socially we haven't been able to embrace the duality. We haven't been able to embrace the ambivalence of it. The ambivalence being the existence of two opposing feelings at once. And when I can support mothers and mothers can really embrace that concept, like it is both. And sometimes it is both within the same minute. It is both at the same time. When we can allow ourselves to feel both of those feelings and to allow them to contradict each other, it's very freeing. And that is actually an evidence-based way to feel less guilt as a mother.
Oh, that's interesting. Embrace the both and. And so just to finish, what's something empowering that you would say to new mums or old mums, any mums?
Yeah, any mums. Ooh. Can I say two things?
Sure.
I would say that first and foremost, you and your needs matter. Simply said, you and your needs matter. And secondly, I would say that you're not supposed to go back to who you used to be.
Yes.
And when those two insights, when we can really feel those, like deep in our bones, like really get acquainted with them, that you and your needs matter just as much as your family's, and that you're not supposed to go back to who you used to be before you were a mom. Like so much can dissipate, so much can dissolve in our life of angst and turmoil when we can let go of those two. We can embrace and let go of those beliefs.
I had several very close girlfriends, like my best girlfriends, had their first babies within months of me having my second. And that came up a lot. They would, all of them said, when do I get to go back? You know, when do I go back to myself? Because it's such a wrench away from what, you know, the self that you've known. And that was kind of where I got the idea to start the podcast because listening to them helped me make sense of what I had gone through with my first. Sort of everything, you know, fell into place in terms of being able to describe what I'd gone through when I had my first baby, listening to them talk about it. And I thought, we need to be talking about this more. Mm-hmm. Because once you wrap your head around that you don't go back, it's actually a really lovely concept that you get to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of empowerment in that. It's very liberating. Okay, I've been forcing trying to go back, but I actually get to be who I am now and go forward.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really beautiful concept, actually. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for chatting with me today.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure, and it's so early in the morning for you. I'm so thankful that you got up at before the break of dawn to have this
chat. It's still dark.
It's such a joy.
But no, you have been a really you've been a really calm, lovely way to start my day. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's my passion and my joy to speak about motherhood and this evolution. So thank you for having me as a guest.
You're very welcome. Anytime. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Kaylee. This conversation was honestly such a calm and lovely way to set my day. Thank you. There are a bunch of links in the show notes if you'd like to do any further reading or exploration into what Kaylee and I spoke about, including a link to Kaylee's website. Mummification is produced and hosted by me, Brodie Matner. Our beautiful music is composed by Ben Talbot Dunn. If you're enjoying the show, please rate, review and subscribe. You'll be notified when a new episode is released, and it helps us reach new audiences, which in turn will hopefully help more women feel less alone. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.